This is the Weekly Connect podcast from RNIB.
You join me on a journey that I might sometimes decide to make in a cab, in a taxi or a private hire vehicle. And the weather's quite nice today, so I'm okay walking, but when it's raining, that option is one I dread. Last week I wrote a piece for The Guardian about having been refused 30 times. Forward, Sammy, good lad. I've been a guide dog owner for 18 years, and some people might say, well, 30 times, that's an awful lot, when you consider that some people have never actually had a refusal. And those who have, it's maybe been one or two. And to those people, I say, yeah, that's fantastic that you haven't had that experience. But a 2015 survey from Guide Dog shows that 75% of all assistance dog owners, and there are about 7,000 assistance dogs, just over 5,000 in the United Kingdom at the moment, have been refused at some point to a cab because they happen to work with a guide dog. Good boy, Sammy, straight on. Now, when you look at the totality of the instances, I think it's something we know a little bit more about. And that's because there's been an awful lot of work done to uncover the numbers. Back in 2015, I did a journalistic investigation into the number of refusals. I wrote to every licensing authority, everyone who issues cabs and taxi licenses. Good dog, forward. The results I received back were staggering. There were, in about an 18-month period, 162 allegations of refused guide dog access. Of those, despite the fact that it is a criminal offence to refuse to carry someone because they have a guide dog, there were just 17 prosecutions, 16 of which ended up in convictions. And that's because the law is crystal clear on this. If you are the licence holder of a taxi or private hire vehicle, straight on, Sammy, good lad, making this journey that we might otherwise get a cabin, then you are absolutely obliged carry a disabled passenger accompanied by their assistance dog, unless you have a legal exemption. So people always say in this discussion, what about those who have a genuine allergy? Well, it works like this. If somebody genuinely has a medical reason why they are supposed not to carry a dog, councils, and there are about 350 of them around the UK, can issue a medical exemption certificate. They can do it, issue a certificate exempting them from the legal requirements on medical grounds. Now, although the Department of Transport recommends those grounds should be on the basis of a consultant or specialist note, not all councils listen to that at all. Find the bin, Sammy. Good boy. Yay. Some councils require GP's notes alone. And that in itself, I would say, is not entirely equitable because, forward, good lad. A GP, if you go to your GP, and GP friends tell me this, and say I'm allergic to tigers, could I possibly have an exemption certificate? They'll say yes, no worries at all. But with 350 different councils, there are 350 different policies, roughly. And so I ask, why is it that we have such a lack of uniformity? I found in the Freedom of Information request I put in as part of an investigation of the 317 councils who replied, there were dramatically different policies. Amber Valley Council, for instance, were issuing exemption certificates on quote-unquote religious grounds. Now, this was unlawful, or at least they had a policy that they would. This was unlawful when I pointed out to them they changed. I found that Middlesbrough Council, for instance, didn't even know that refusing a guide dog is a criminal offence. Find left, good boy. So, how on earth are we supposed to have a nationally recognised system of equality when the law of the land, which applies wherever you are, certainly in England and Wales, and even north of the border, although the bit of the Equality Act that says that they have to take guide dogs or assistance dogs doesn't apply, they do prosecute under various administrative laws that somebody's breaching their licence. But I'd like to turn to the personal for a minute because, you know, it's hard enough when refusals happen. without the postcode lottery of councils like Liverpool City Council, who, to be fair to them, are really, really proactive on people who refuse guide dogs, but they have policies that they'll never prosecute in any circumstance. Bradford was another one who in 2015 told me that it doesn't matter what happens, they'll never prosecute. Other councils say that they go through a points-based system, so somebody might get a number of points, 3 points, 6 points on a taxi licence if they refuse to carry a guide or assistance dog. But it doesn't reflect the impact it has on me personally as a loudmouthed journalist, and it doesn't reflect the impact it has on the majority of people. And so I ask, how are we supposed to have confidence in a system where there is no joined up approach whatsoever? Now, imagine, if you will, forward, good lad, this 1.8 mile journey that I'm taking now. Good boy, follow me. On a rainy day. Imagine that I'm on my way to work. Imagine that it's an important meeting. And you book your cab, and they turn up and they refuse to take you, and there's not another driver around. Every single time it happens, I honestly feel assaulted. Every single time it happens, I feel obliged, because my day job is a journalist and I have the ability, good doggy, straight on, to write about these things and to talk about them. I have to do it, but every time I do it, a little bit of my heart dies. Because something that is entirely out of my control leads me to a situation where I have to put myself out there and be associated with what people who may not understand it feel is moaning and bitterness. And actually the reality is quite the opposite. I'm very positive and very proactive. Watford Council is one of the councils I am pleased to be working with to help educate, because I would far rather educate drivers than to enforce or to prosecute. Now, on that note, day of recording this little walk that I'm taking with Sammy now, good boy, forwards, I found out that Wolverhampton City Council, who licensed the Uber driver who refused me in Stevenage, I don't know exactly how far, it's a couple hundred miles away though, I think, from where he's licensed. Wolverhampton City Council, within a week of getting hold of it, have dealt with this. They've collected statements, they've got CCTV images, they've communicated with the driver, and they have immediately, as a result of that refusal, revoked his license, which means that he cannot now act as a private hire driver, and if he does, he commits another rather serious criminal offence. Straight on, Sammy, good lad. That doesn't make me feel good. That doesn't make me feel big that someone's livelihood potentially has been threatened. And at this point, I don't have any personal feelings towards the driver. I'd far rather that he took heed of the education. But how many times are we supposed to say, well, we don't want anything bad to happen to people who do this, when in reality they impact my life as a very confident person? And there are some people potentially listening right now who simply wouldn't go out as a result of, seriously, a very life-changing and impactful decision on the part of the driver. And they do know. Uber send out, to be fair to them, very regular messages saying that guide dogs and assistance dogs must be carried. And they're warned that if they refuse, they will lose access, if they're found to have refused, they'll lose access to the Uber platform forever. Yet they still do. They still think they can get away with it. And if you look at the 2015 figures, 90% pretty much of drivers who were accused of this were not prosecuted. They were not dealt with in any meaningful way whatsoever. So the chances of actually getting caught for it, in reality, is quite low. But I'm pleased to see people like Transport for London having changed their policy since then. They had a policy they wouldn't prosecute. Now they have a policy that where the evidence exists, they will prosecute. And actually the work of guide dogs, and specifically Dave Kent, the engagement officer at guide dogs, and Robert Harris, who till recently was the engagement manager at guide dogs in the Euston office, have done with them, has made them open their eyes and change their mind. And I salute them for that. but not every council is prosecuting. And I feel that it's incumbent upon us, who, those of us who can speak out, that we must speak out. And I just say, leaving you on the thought that every time it happens, I don't sleep the next night. I didn't eat for 24 hours after the last refusal. I don't take pleasure out of somebody losing their licence. Education is always a priority, but I hate to say it, this would appear to be an important part of the education process, and what a hard lesson to learn. Sammy?
Thanks for downloading the Weekly Connect podcast from RNIB. Find more podcasts from RNIB on Audioboom, iTunes, and the Apple Podcast app.